Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Prospering Souls broadcast, Foundation of Truth series. Amen. We have been having a wonderful time, and the Lord has been blessing with the Word of God. And we're ready tonight. We have our constituent on the line, Elder Anthony Polston, who will be leading us tonight and directing us in a lesson tonight on regeneration. We're going to start with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, hear us tonight, O God, and may your people hear you, the words that you have to say. Open up our ears of understanding and our hearts of wisdom, that we may know you more. Lord, we long to know you more. Help us, Lord, to take these words and to establish and generate faith in our hearts, that we may know how to go walk before your people, in and out amongst your people. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen. Now we turn it over into the capable hands of our own Elder Anthony Polston. Receive him right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for this opportunity to be here with you all tonight as we continue in our foundational series where we're talking about the basic topics to build a strong foundation for our Christian faith and our walk. So tonight we are going to be talking about regeneration, and I'm going to start what the Lord gave me in preparation for this with the definition. When I thought about it, I think about the word regenerate. The definition came from the Webster's Dictionary, and it said to become formed again. And to become regenerate, reform, to undergo regeneration, to subject to spiritual regeneration, to change radically and for the better. So with that particular definition, we understand that we're talking about regeneration or regenerate. It's basically to change radically. There is a change in our life when we regenerate it for the better. And from a spiritual aspect, it says, and an individual who is spiritually reborn. So I'm also going to be taking excerpts from, let me make sure I get this, I'm multitasking, gotquestions.org, if you ever want to go there and do your own research. And when we ask the question, what is regeneration according to the Bible, on that particular site, it says another word for regeneration is rebirth, related to the biblical phrase born again. Our rebirth is distinguished from our first birth, when we are conceived physically inherently our sin nature, and we inherit our sin nature. So also going back to the definition of the word, it says an act or the process of regenerating, the state of being regenerated, spiritual renewal, or revival. And that's from the Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary. And I also did a little more in-depth research. It says the Greek translation of the word regenerate. I was able to pronounce it earlier, but I'm not going to butcher it now. But I did look for the Greek translation and the Hebrew translation. And from our research in both of those languages, we came up with the same foundation or definition in Greek and Hebrew, meaning to be rebirth. Or the word means rebirth, regenerate, renew, revival, resurrection, renovation, repetition also those came up under the Hebrew translation. I found it interesting, especially when I looked at renovation and repetition, because those words imply a process. So regeneration or being born again, typically we've been taught when you accept the Lord, you repent of your sin, accept the Lord as your Savior, then you are born again. But that is the beginning of the process. So also looking at regeneration, when we look at the subject of regeneration, it is clear that the definition across cultures has to do with rebirth, being born again, or the process of spiritual rebirth. Now, I looked at the word, because the word we're studying is regeneration, or the phrase regeneration. And so the root of that word is to generate. And so when we look at the root word generate, it means to make something so clearly. Regenerate means to make over or new using original material. Okay, let me say that again because I don't know, I want to make sure you got it. So from regeneration, we defined regenerate, and we looked at the Greek and the Hebrew, and the translation is agreed upon that it means rebirth, or as we are typically heard the term born again, being saved. And when we look at the root word, when you generate something, it means you make something. So when you regenerate it, it's taking the thing that you made and making it over using the original material. You generated something, you got it, now you're going to regenerate it. You're going to take that which you generated and regenerate it. So you're adding something to the original material that you already used to generate the object or being. Does that make sense? Amen. However, yes. taking that which exists and adding something to make something new, to take what you generated and add something to it to regenerate. Okay, so generate means to bring into existence, to produce, to procreate, or beget. Okay, so when we generate something, we bring it into existence, or we're producing something. Another term is procreate or to beget. Hold on, let me just wake this up and make sure I'm not missing nobody. Okay, let me get them in here. All right. Excuse me for the pauses, but, you know, I'm multitasking, so we're going to move forward. So we're looking at regeneration, and we've talked about the definition of the word across the Greek translation, Hebrew translation, into our English meaning, and then we looked at the root word. So regeneration is basically meaning rebirth in all of those cultures. And to generate means you take something and bring it into existence. You make something. So when we talk about regeneration, we're talking about taking something that was brought into existence, produced or made, and making something new. Okay? Now, our parents, when our parents came together, they procreated and created or beget and then brought forth us, which means that we became their offspring. Okay? So it's like they got together and generated us. They made us. They brought two things together and produced us. They generated us. So we became their offspring. Now I want to go to Genesis 1. And I'll give you a minute to go there. We're going to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 26 and 28. Okay. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 26 and go through to 28. Okay, in Genesis, on the sixth day of creation, God created man and woman. So Genesis 1, 26 starts off by saying, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, that's Genesis 1, verse 26-28. Now, how that connects with what we're talking about goes back to what I just said a few minutes ago. When we're looking at the root word of regeneration, is to generate, to bring something into existence, to produce something, to procreate or beget it. And so in Genesis, this is letting us know that this is how we became God's offspring, just like we are our parents' offspring. Because God said, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So God created us. He generated us. He created us. After his image and after his likeness. Now, I just want to throw this in right here because this is something the Lord has been dealing with me on for the last month or so, several weeks. When God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, that means that we are created, we're generated in the image of God, the likeness of God. So it's critically important as we go through these foundational series that we seek to know who God is. Because if we were created in God's image, if God generated us in his image after his likeness, in order for us to know who we are, who he created us to be, it's vitally important that we know who he is. Because we come from him. It's just like in our natural birth, you can take a father and a son. In order for the son to find out and recognize who he is, what he is, in the household, he begins to identify with that person that is in his image.
Yes.
So if you have a little boy in the house, he's made in the image of his father.
Yes.
So he will begin to look at his father, watch his father's moves, watch how his father communicates, watch how his father handles problems, watch how his father provides, watch how his father even grooms himself, because my son would come and watch me shave and just stand there and look at me. And he did that because he was beginning to identify who he was, because he's made in my image. So just to put that in there, it's critical as we go through this foundational process that as we're learning and understanding these topics, that we also seek to know who God is. Know who he is even more so than what you think you already know. It's impossible for us to know everything about him. But we can't know anything about who we are if we don't know who God is, because we're made in his image. Image is visual, likeness. That's what we look like. And his likeness is characteristics, how he behaves. That's the way the child finds out and identifies who he is. Now, this is like an insert into the whole lesson. In today's society, one of the problems that we're having with our children and all the debate and stuff that's going on about sexual identity and allowing somebody who identifies this particular gender to use this particular restroom and everybody in an uproar is because we've been deceived from the beginning. Because if that child was taught from the beginning to understand the image in whom he was created or she was created, then there would be no confusion about who they are.
Yes.
Amen. So Amen. That is, we have to recognize that as a trick of the enemy to try to bring deception and create all this chaos and mess that's going on. God didn't generate us, create us, to be something other than what he is. That's confusion. God is not confused.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, he's not.
All right.
Amen.
So, again, back on topic, when we talk about generate, regeneration, we're looking at the root word. To generate something means to bring it into existence, to produce, procreate, or beget it. And so in Genesis 1 through chapter 1, 26 to 28, we have God letting us know that he made man in his image and after his likeness. Okay. So going a little further, we are reflections of God's glory.
Yes.
But we have to know that. If we don't know God, we don't know whose image we're made in, what God generated us to be. We're reflections of God's glory. God is sinless. God is eternal and unlimited. Although we're given the potential to be sinless and eternal, we're also given the choice to fall short. That's what God did for us. I'm going to say that again. We are reflections of God's glory because we're created in his image. God is sinless. He's eternal and unlimited. Although we are given the potential to be sinless and eternal, we're also given the choice to fall short. He gave us the choice to fall short. One moment. Okay. We are God's offspring because he is our supreme creator. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Man,
just like when I was talking about our parents coming together and we being the offspring of our parents, by them coming together, they generated us, and we became their offspring.
Right.
Okay. But God created us before the foundation of the world in his image and his likeness. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to start with verse 6, and I'm reading from King James Version of the Life Application Bible, just so you know the translation that I have. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Okay? We're talking about regeneration. We're talking about generation, something being made. Now, Adam and Eve were created just like we were in God's image and likeness. Now, remember I was talking about the child watching the parent in order to identify with that being or that person that looks like them in order for them to understand who they are? We got this same scenario going on right here. And just like when I talked about how today's society, how the devil has come in, and we got all these confusion about what restroom somebody can use, this is where it all started right here. because the devil implemented this thing where he went to eat. And if you go to 1 John, along with Genesis 3 and 6, 1 John 2, starting at the 15th verse says, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh. In the love of the Father, not in, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh is when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Sustenance for the body, feeding your flesh. The lust of the eye was, and when and that what it was pleasant to the eye, what she could see. That's the lust of the eye. And the pride of life is when she saw that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. That's pride.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how all that connects? And what the devil did when he deceived Eve is he tricked her, bamboozled her, run amok, just like we do today, to cause her not to realize that she is made in God's image and his likeness. So then we are now dealing with these same situations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Yes.
Genesis 3 and 7 says, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So when they found out they was in a mess, they tried to fix it themselves. So this is the question. Is regeneration needed?
Yes.
Why do I need to be regenerated? The answer is yes, regeneration is needed, and everyone needs it. Why? Let's go back to the definition. Regeneration, the definition is, or common phrase is born again, or rebirth. We looked at the root word, generate, that is to create something. So regenerate is when I said you take something that you've already created, you add something to it to make it new.
Yes.
God created us. He generated us. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, now we need regeneration.
Right.
And praise God, he had a plan. So now he can take what he generated, add it to us, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, regenerate us, which then we become born again, and we are in our new birth.
Praise God.
Regeneration.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So let's go a little further. Wait a minute, let me make sure I ain't got nobody not out there. Okay. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at verse 21 through 22. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at verse 21 through 22. So, 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter starting with the 21st verse. And it says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ to all be made alive. Death came into the world as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. Okay? And so some people would say, well, I didn't do nothing. Well, you hold on. Just keep listening. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 12 through 21. Okay. Now, I found it interesting. Let me just interject this from my, aside from my notes. I found this really interesting when I was beginning to study this, that God would take me all the way back to Genesis when we're talking about regeneration. Because a lot of times we bring people in and we just say, you need to get saved. You get saved, you need to be born again. And we're going to baptize you. We talked about baptism. We talked about repentance and all these other terms that we put at people or that we've heard. But the Lord took me back here to the very beginning. And, you know, some of the questions, and I'd ask, okay, Adam did that. What they got to do with me? Remember, though, earlier I read that being created in God's image and likeness, we have the potential to be sinless and eternal. We're also given a choice to fall short. So when that choice was presented to Adam and Eve, they chose to fall short. So that's, I believe, why God took me all the way back to Genesis to start talking about regeneration. So I'm hoping you're following me okay. Let me get my paper back where I need it. And we're going to... Was it Romans? Yeah, Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And it says, wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned, had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abound unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. I feel like shouting. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men, upon all men, unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Man.
Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, that's wonderful right there.
Yes,
we are declared guilty because of what Adam did thousands of years ago. Some of us feel like it's not fair for God to judge us, because of Adam's sin. However, each one of us confirms that we are related to Adam by our own sins every day. We have the same sinful physical nature and are prone to rebel against God, and we are judged for our sins because we are sinners. We don't need fairness when people say it's not fair. We don't need fairness as it relates to the sins we commit. We need God's mercy. In Romans, Paul said that obeying the law does not bring salvation, and breaking the law is not what brings death. What'd you say? Wait a minute. Paul said that obeying the law does not bring salvation, and breaking the law is not what brings death. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. Are y'all clutching your pearls? Just hold on.
Amen.
It says, death is a result of Adam's sin and the sins we commit. But Paul reminds us that for thousands of years, the law had not yet been explicitly given, and people died every day. If you know your Bible, read it. In Romans 5 and 12, let me go back to that. What I'm saying is, Paul is saying, and when he's talking to them in his letter, that, you know, don't think that the law is what brings death. Your sin brings you death. But before the law was explicitly laid out and explained when in Leviticus, when Moses gave them all of the rules and stuff like that, people were dying before that. So that's what he means when he says that we have the same sinful nature, rebel against God, that obeying the law does not bring salvation, or breaking the law is not what brings death. Paul reminds us for thousands of years that the law had not yet been explicitly given, and people died every day. In Romans 5 and 20, if you ain't got to go there, Romans 5 and 20, he explains that the law was given to help people see their sinfulness. That's what the law is for. Because if you don't have a law, how do you know you break it? Right?
Right.
So the law was given to help the people see their sinfulness, to show us the seriousness of our sins and direct us to God for his mercy. It was true then and is true now. Sin is a deep discrepancy between who we are and who we were created to be. Sin is a deep discrepancy between who we are and who we were created to be. The law points out our sin and places the responsibility for it on us. But the law offers no remedy for sin. Ooh, Lord Jesus. The law points out our sin and places the responsibility for it on us. But the law offers no remedy. Bring it to 2016. When people are convicted of breaking the law, that law that they broke tells them that they did something wrong. But it does not give them a remedy for what they did. So they go to jail. That's the remedy? No, that ain't the remedy, because they ain't being fixed. They coming out doing it again.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. So if there's no, what's the word they use? Reconciliation is what comes to mind. But when you go to jail and they don't learn the lesson, they come out and do the same thing again. Yeah, the law told them that what they did was wrong, and we
rehabilitate.
There we go. And we think that if we put them in jail, that's going to fix the issue. No, that's just the consequence. But it doesn't deal with the sin. Okay. Sin is a deep discrepancy. The law points out our sin and places the responsibility for it on us, but the law offers no remedy. This is why regeneration is not optional, but absolutely required and necessary.
Elder Pope.
What
are
we,
amen.
What is regeneration? Yes, yes, yes.
You were saying it's necessary. It's like I came in kind of late. I don't know if you all used this to describe generate, but did you use the thing about the generator and the lights? When the lights go out and you got a generator, you know, it brings it back on. So, you know, and that's the same thing with our sin. When our lights go out, the blood, the Holy Ghost regenerates us and brings us back into our place where we need to be with God.
Amen.
Am I correct? It just generates and brings back light, so to speak, into our lives.
Right.
And the other thing that I want to point out based on what you said, I thank God for that, is let's look at what you just said. We need a generator because the original power source is not functioning.
Amen.
It was disconnected.
Right.
Disconnected. And when did our original state fall? When did we lose that?
In
Genesis 3.
In Genesis.
Right. So we need a generator. Thank you. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
To bring back. So you're taking what's already there and adding something to it to bring it back to life, to make it born again, to rebirth it, so it's usable.
Right.
That's what God does. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You need that generator to bring it back. Oh, Lord, wait a minute. Ooh, praise God. That was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Elder, what you're saying and what Sister Dotson pointed out was, we were disconnected, so we need a reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
And regeneration is our reconnection.
Yes. Our rebirth. And
yes.
It distinguished from our first birth, our first birth is when we were conceived physically. And in our inherited sin nature. Now, the new birth is spiritual.
Yeah.
Amen. So, it's absolutely required and necessary. Regeneration is rebirth. Adam is a representative of created physical humanity, and Christ is a representative of a new spiritual humanity. So, let's look at Ephesians. Jesus. We're going to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 1. Now, remember what Phyllis just gave us. So in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." No power.
Mm-hmm.
"Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh."
It is right there.
"Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us," verse 5, "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved," verse 6, "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Number 7, "that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Lord, have mercy. I hope you're seeing how this all ties together with regeneration, rebirth, being born again, and why it is necessary, why it is required. Just as our birth resulted in us, a new person entering the earthly realm, our spiritual birth results in a new person entering the heavenly realm. And you can refer to Ephesians 2 and 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? When we start the regeneration process, we should begin to work on putting things in the right perspective and prioritizing what we desire and what is important to us eternally. Now, what comes to mind when I read that, if we go back, remember when the devil, when the serpent, the enemy, presented that to Eve, she began to desire it. So she, from her perspective, wasn't right, and then she began to prioritize what he presented, not what God said. Because God said, you made my image and my likeness. But the devil presented that to her saying, this will make you like God. Mm-hmm. Well, God already created you like him. So she missed it. You see what I'm saying? That's how she got deceived. This will make you like God. How can you give me something to make me like what I already am? Yeah. All right, Jesus. Okay, 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. Oh, Jesus. Now, you know what I'm going to do?
That's what he should have said to the devil. See, we don't talk
right
back when he brings thought to mind. What you just said is what she should have said. How am I going to, why do I have to do this to be like him when I'm already like him?
Right.
I'm already made in his image and his likeness.
Right. Right. Anybody else have any comments while I calm down before I jump through this wall? Come on in.
Jump on in, brother.
One thing I was going to mention was you had brought up about your son earlier in the broadcast and in the teaching being like you. And one thing we forget is that your son also, and you brought this up, I believe, emulated you.
Yes.
So much so that other people would see him and they saw you.
Me. Ooh, yeah. Wait a minute, hold on.
And we forget that the regeneration process is so we can get back to the image and likeness of God.
Yes.
It's going to bring us back to it. Because what we have forgotten is that he wants to bring us back to righteousness because we walked away from it.
Yes.
And the emulating our master and our creator is walking in righteousness, justice, love. You know, and this is what he wants to get us back to. So without being regenerated, we can't get back to generation.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Man.
Amen. Wow. Does anybody else have anything? Because we're looking at about...
You know, He's always available for us, no matter what condition we're in. When Minister Dawson brought up that about the regeneration, that was a good point. You know, even mm-hmm. when we're sleeping at night and everything goes off in the house, a fear comes on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we find a switch to switch it all back on.
Mm-hmm.
But we know there's a switch. We know there is one. The switch
mm-hmm.
back, so that the lights come back on, so it's regenerated. And we know
right.
that Jesus is always available for us, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what time of day. He's there.
Thank you.
Put us back in place. So we have no excuse. We have no excuse.
Yes.
But as long as we're in this human body, you know, we're drawn to those things. But the word says, great is he that's in us and he that's in the world, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Unless
mm-hmm.
we have our weapon to prosper. Amen.
Yes. And, you know, Elder Russell, I think it's important, and I'm just going to kind of leave the remainder open for any comments or questions as I let this word again, that I'm eating on it about 3 or 4 times again, just let it simmer and enjoy the aroma. Because one of the problems is like what you said, we know there's a switch there. And at first I didn't understand. I said, Lord, why are you taking me all the way back to Genesis? And then he began to show me that you got to know where this thing started. And so many of us, yeah, go ahead. So many of us don't know the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was even talking to, you know, some people today, and I, the Lord has really been giving this to me that, you know, you made in his image and his likeness. What does that mean? Image and likeness, image and likeness, image and likeness. What does that mean? I got to know who God's image is. You know, I want to know more than just his works, what he did. I want to know his ways. So that lets me know who I am supposed to be. But there's so many people, and that's part of the problem that we have with this mess that we're dealing with that we talked about, is that nobody is teaching. How do you, and we're still talking about regeneration, I don't understand how a parent lets a 2 or 3-year-old come and tell them, no experience, they ain't been exposed to nothing they shouldn't have, come and tell you, a little boy, come and tell you, I'm a girl. No, you not. Simple as that. Like Randy said, she should talk back to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
We have allowed him free reign and free access. And that's why the God said, he said, we are reflections of God's glory. God is sinless, eternal, and unlimited. Although we are given the potential to be sinless and eternal, he also gave us the choice to fall short. And we have chosen
mm-hmm.
to fall short.
Right. That's another great deception of the enemy, of the parents
right.
saying, well, let them be what they want to be. They don't know what they want to be. We barely know what we need to be.
Right.
Thank God for Jesus.
Thank God for Jesus.
They're there to teach them what they need to know. But they're allowed, mm-hmm. but they let the child teach them what they're going to be, and they go along
right.
with it.
So, you know, and I tell people, you know, don't give up on them because God is able to do it. If we accept the free gift that he's given to us through Christ Jesus, he can rebirth you into what he created you
he's
to be.
He's able.
He's able to do that.
He's able to
some things, when I first got saved, you know, they said some things you just quit instantly and you can just walk away from. Yes. But then there's some things it's a process. It's like when Bishop started preaching this morning, I was about ready to pull my head off because I'm like, okay, Lord, you are confirming everything that you told me last night. He was saying
right.
that you got to look at your situation in retrospect.
Yes.
And then when he started talking about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea being a baptism, I said,
mm-hmm.
Lord, we just thought on that. So that gives me joy and gives me confidence. it gives me the motivation and the encouragement to continue on with what we're doing, because it is needed, and God is saying that you're doing the right thing, and this is what we need. Go back to the foundation, go back to what my word says about who I am and who I made you to be, because we're clouded and flooded with all these other images, all this fluff and all this stuff that we see, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Me, 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 me. Even when we have people that do wrong, but on my job, I have people that do wrong. They know they violate the policy, but they never come to, "I'm sorry." It's, "Well, what about me? I know I shouldn't have did that, but how's that going to affect my family? What about my family? What about what I'm going to do? Me, 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 me." Pride of life. You're only concerned about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The law was there in the policy, but the law did not provide a solution for your actions. And your sin is what brings you death, not the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, regeneration—it's a very important topic that we talk about. And these are some of the foundational things that we've gotten away from. These are things you don't hear people preaching and teaching about anymore. Everybody, this is amazing to me, saints. There's so much of this prosperity message being preached. But it's so many saints ain't prospered.
Ain't prospered.
Amen.
So how effective is that message? I mean, Lord, that's a whole nother thing right there.
That's
another thing. Yes, yes. What is so important about it, Elder, is one of the initial things that you gave at the beginning of this study was that regeneration was something that is formed, and said formed again for the better.
Right.
Does anybody want to be better?
Oh, yes.
You know, regeneration reforms you for the better.
Right.
For the better.
The reason Jesus came is that you might be better.
Yes.
Listen, everyone that is listening to this teaching tonight, oh my God, you should be changed by the words that you are hearing, which were coming straight from the Bible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And go do this and research it, because in the book of 1 Corinthians and in Romans and in Ephesians, it really clarifies all that Elder Poston is teaching tonight, that you need to be regenerated.
Yes.
Reformed, restored, replenished, renewed, and revived.
Yes.
But we're going to start with regeneration.
Right.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Elder Poston.
Yes.
May I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I've enjoyed your teaching tonight, and I was while you was talking, I was just thinking regeneration being an act whereby God renews our spiritual condition, something that He does, as you just described, and that He's put in the with Christ down on the cross to make the provision. But He is the one, because I wanted to read 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He said, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things. All things have become new." And as we get become regenerated, that old thinking, that old nature that we're talking about that keep trying to come back, because the enemy's still trying to deceive like he did with Eve, as you said, is as we build that relationship, continue that relationship with Christ, then that regeneration process stays in place. 1 John 2 and 4 says, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,'" because we got to get to know him. Once we take on, God regenerates us, we got to build that relationship. We can't. It's not a one-time thing. We've got to build it. Because he says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep any man that comes to know, say, "I have come to know him," and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So we've got to as God has in this new birth been born again, our minds, our morals, our standards must change, and we can't conform to the world because they decided whatever they want to do or change, go with the flow. We can't always be popular. We're going with the flow. And we just got to speak the truth in love and go on and tell them God still loves you, but he's already set the standard. And so if we are in Christ, then we will not be so persuaded by all this wind and doctrine that's coming out, this new stuff that's coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say.
Praise God.
Thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Does anybody else have any comments or questions? You know, I was in my notes, that was my next scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. So you're right on point.
And Ezekiel 11:19, he says, "And I shall give them one heart and shall put a new spirit within them. And I shall take the heart of out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh."
Yes.
Praise
God. Wow.
Oh, folks, say, may the Lord have
what a blessing. Amen. One thing that I'm also extremely humbled by is God loved us so much. Loves us so much, knowing that we was going to mess up, made a way for us not to be lost. He had things he had put in place to get us back to what he intended for us to be. And so as a parent, like I told my son, I said, I may not like everything that you do, but I will always love you. I may not agree with everything that you do, but I always will love you. Just like God loves us, but there's only so much that I could do to get my son back to where I think he needs to be. But God absolutely knows exactly what it takes for us to get back to his original purpose and his intent. And put forth the effort to put it in place. That's love. We talk about love being an action word, a verb. That's love.
Amen.
So I'm humbled by that, and you know I'm the more I study, the more dumb I feel. Like Lord, how can I? But just keep going. Take a bite at a time. So I'm humbled. I thank God because even and this may be a little bit off from what our particular subject is, but sometimes I can just think about the people who haven't lived as long as I have, who may not have had the chance or the experience to be exposed or have this type of relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying they lost, they went to hell, but I'm saying live long enough to learn more about them on this side, right? With everything that we deal with and everything that we go through. And I will say, as we get ready to close, Elder Dotson, next week there may be more of this. I mean, there's still, I have a lot more notes.
There's got
maybe. Maybe talking about this again, but
yes,
I'm going to turn it back over to you for altar call or in the final prayer.
Thank you, everyone. We had a beautiful lesson tonight.
Yes.
Am I being heard?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, there's so much going on here. I'm trying to focus. This was a beautiful lesson, and of course there's so much more, because when you're dealing with regeneration, you're dealing with Gentiles, because the Gentile church has to formulate and emulate all the rees that are forementioned. We have to be revived, reformed, and all of that has to be done. So we're speaking to all those that have tuned in tonight that do not know the Lord. We want you to repeat this simple prayer after us. If you want this generation, say these words: Lord, I repent of my sins. I proclaim and believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and that his blood was shed for me to bring my redemption. Now, Jesus, come into my heart and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give my life to you. If you said this, then with open arms the Lord has brought you back to him to start your regeneration process. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. We're going to close out with Elder Poston. Please pray for us and pray for this broadcast before we go out. And I thank you all for joining together and being that strong arm against the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you, O Lord God. We are humbled and thank you, God, for the opportunity just to study and search out your word, that we may increase our understanding of who you are and who you created us to be, God. Father God, we pray in all the things that we do, O Lord God, when we're doing them, that they are for our good and that you will get the glory out of them, O Lord God. Lord God, we pray that you anoint us and endow us with your spirit of wisdom. Give us a heart of understanding that we may know good and bad, O Lord God. Lord God, I pray for any soul out there that is trying to decide on what they want to do or which step to take, O Lord God, that you would do what you said you would do in your word and draw them with loving kindness unto you, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, that the word that you have allowed us to speak, that it's effective when it goes out, and we know that your word will not return unto you void, O Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, God, and we're humbled by your love for us, O Lord God. Thank you, God, for your mercy, Lord God. And as we walk out this thing called salvation, God, each step that we take, O Lord God, lead and guide us into the direction that we should go. And every step that we take, O Lord God, impart unto us more knowledge of who you are and who you created us to be, O Lord God. For your glory, O Lord God, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, everyone that is on the line, it is very important for us to repeat and tell others that what we are. Once you repeat after me, we are the blessed.
We are the blessed.
We are the blessed.
And we are the righteousness of God.
And we are the righteousness
of God. Amen.
Throughout the earth.
Throughout the earth.
Be blessed, everyone. God bless you all.
Amen.
God
be blessed.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen.